grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned, we're looking at Matthew chapter 13 today. Just wanted to highlight verse 27. The servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" It is a 60 billion, with a B, $60 billion a year industry. And it's more than twice that if you include commercial concerns. It requires 20 trillion, TR, trillion gallons of water. It covers 40.5 million acres. That's 2% of our entire country's land mass, even more than the 1.3% of paved roads. Individually, we spend an average of $550 per household on it, not to mention the mowers and trimmers and blowers and dethatchers and aerators and countless hours of effort, and all of it for no intrinsic value whatsoever. I'm talking about your lawn. It's pretty amazing when you think of the time and effort we put into something like our lawn. All we do simply to have some green space around us. Now, not that space and green isn't important, but it is a little bit ridiculous. In fact, it's only within the last 100 years this has even been a thing. I mean, if you think about it, if you had land, you put it to use, right? You planted, or you grazed, or maybe you had a narrow path to get from one place to the other, or maybe you used it to do cooking or laundry or raise chickens or build a barn or what have you. But if there was land and you could grow it, grow on it, or use it for something, you did. In fact, you can walk through places like Philadelphia and see homes from the 18th century that are right up to the sidewalk. Maybe there was a foot back, but it was definitely cobbled. And in the back, you might have a little bit of space for some chickens and some laundry and an outdoor oven, but that was about it. It wasn't until really the 18th century England manor homes where they started showing their wealth by having useless land covered in grass, because they could then show their wealth and prestige by having people cut it, manicure it, and take care of it. It wasn't really in the U.S. until the 1920s when people started building subdivisions that there were yards. And then with the invention of the lawnmower, where you could actually take care of it yourself rather than have to hire somebody to do it, that's when the green spaces started. Oh, and then came the fertilizers. Then came the clippers and the trimmers and wanting everything to be just so, so that you had that lush emerald expanse around you. You know, the one that went from your front step all the way out to the road, and then from your neighbor's fence on this side all the way. Wait a second. Is that a weed? Hello, Showcase. True Green, I've got a weed in my lawn. Now, maybe in older days, you might have gone out there with one of those dandelion pickers, you know, the little point on the end, pop it up, and you try to get those weeds out of your lawn. But isn't that the first thing you do? You see a weed, let's just get rid of it. Sir, did you not sow good seed in your lawn? That's True Green answering my call. Where did the weeds come from? No, I'm just kidding. But that's kind of how we feel about it, right? We see our beautiful, lush, green lawn as we continue through the gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 13. So last week we talked about the parable of the sower and the seed and how God, in his grace, sows that seed of the gospel. And we saw that with various results, but often miraculous results as that seed takes root and faith grows. But this week, Jesus takes us a little bit different direction, as I mentioned, kind of like shifting that kaleidoscope a little bit and getting a whole new picture. Now, by grace, the gospel has been sown and the wheat is coming up. but there is a rather devious addition. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while people were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the plants sprouted and produced heads of grain, the weeds also appeared. Now, that's just plain evil. I mean, imagine if your neighbor in the cover of night came over and sowed weeds in your lawn, you know, gathered up all the little dandelion heads, and then one night came out and blew them all over your yard, and on your little ring camera, you saw them out there scattering the weed seeds. I mean, let's be honest. Not only would you be furious, you'd be a little curious. Why? Why would you do something like that? How much do you hate me that you're going to deliberately sow weeds in my lawn? Of course, when it comes to the context of Jesus' parable, his earthly story with his heavenly meaning, we understand exactly why. Jesus not only explained it in the first half of the text when he says an enemy did this, but then later he explains it to the disciples. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. And so in the context of this parable, we recognize that the motivation of the evil one is that he wants nothing more than to choke out the wheat, to ruin the field, to end the harvest with nothing but weeds, and we get that. But where we have trouble is right here with the servants. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and gather up the weeds?" I mean, wouldn't that finally be easier? "Come on, Lord, we're all struggling here, so just get rid of all the weeds and we'll be fine. If I didn't have to deal with all this stuff around me, all this temptation, everything out there that I have to deal with and struggle with, if you just rip up all those weeds, then we, the wheat, would be just fine." But I ask you, how did that work for the monastics? You know, from centuries ago, they built their walls and they went and hid. Guess what? The sin followed them in, didn't it? They couldn't get away from sin. There's nowhere where we can go on this earth to get away from sin. "Well, okay, Lord, well, how about we just have our own little corner of the field? You know, if we wheat can just sort of be gathered here and then let the weeds all be in a whole other part of the field. You know, they can grow, we can go, it'll all be fine, right?" That doesn't really work either, because the sin still gets in. There are people in this room right now. Sinners. Yeah, it's every single one of us, isn't it? We sin and we bring it with us. We can't get away from it. So what are we to do? "No," he answered the master, "because when you gather up the weeds, you might pull up the wheat along with them." It's interesting, it's most likely that the weeds to which Jesus is referring is something called darnel. It's a Eurasian ryegrass that as this wheat and the darnel grow together, they actually look quite similar. And it isn't until they start to sprout the heads and start to produce the fruit of the grain that you realize that they're just noxious weeds. And it's not the wheat. It's important for us to remember as we're in this harvest field that we can't see into the heart. We can't see who truly is the weed and who truly is the wheat. We know that we can have confidence. We know people by their outward confession. But finally, that's God's point, is that as we live in this world, that we look at everyone around us as he sees them. Souls. Redeemed souls, souls whose sin is covered, every person around us, a soul that's important to God, important enough that he gave his life for them, that Jesus lived for them, died for them, rose again, paid for them with his blood. It's not ours to decide which weeds get yanked and which wheat gets to stay. We get to witness and grow share and let our light shine. All in anticipation of the final harvest, because finally, that's what it's about, isn't it? The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. Therefore, just as the weeds are gathered up and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will pull out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and those who continue to break the law. In other words, the weeds will get theirs. We don't have to worry about it. The angels will throw them into the fiery furnace where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And all of this is not for nothing like your lawn. All of this is for God's eternal harvest. The great gardener, the design of his plan, your salvation and mine. It's interesting that Jesus uses himself through his word as a picture of a seed that gets planted and 3 days later rises to the eternal glory of the Father in the resurrection to new life that you and I now have through the waters of baptism in him. And it is in his righteousness that we shine like amber waves of grain in the light of the sun, awaiting that harvest to eternity, dedicated with eagerness, thanks-filled hopefulness, and sanctified joyfulness. This is his promise to you. It is your confidence, your eternal joy. So if you have ears, hear. Amen.